This is Christine Novak, the science editor with Gastroenterology and Clinical Gastroenterology and Hepatology. I'm here at Digestive Disease Week in New Orleans with Dr. James Farrell, who just gave an interesting talk about management of patients with cystic lesions. Dr. Farrell, what did you talk about today?
Thank you. We had a very interesting symposium today on decision-making in pancreatic cystic neoplasms. And what we tried to do was really take a lot of the new information we have from the diagnostic studies as well as our understanding of the natural history of pancreatic cysts to figure out could we be more selective and possibly personalize a lot of these treatment options. You know, it's clear that we are very comfortable now managing pancreatic pseudocysts, serous cystadenomas, as well as main duct IPMN, but there are still some challenging cases in pancreatic cystic disease, including the solitary asymptomatic cysts, especially those in the head of the pancreas. Other challenging cysts include those that are increasing in size, those with very high CEA levels, those associated with a family history of pancreatic cancer, those that have been stable for a very long period of time, as well as issues relating to whether or not we can associate the patient's symptoms with the cyst, and then how to deal with a patient who's incredibly anxious about the possibility that they have a premalignant lesion. Currently, a lot of the work has revolved around us assuming that a lot of the solitary cysts in the pancreas are probably branched out to IPMN, and a lot of us have been following the SENDAI guidelines and the 3-centimeter cutoff, as well as the symptom management and dilated pancreatic duct, as well as the presence of a mural nodule to make decisions about surgical resection. However, it's clear that these are imprecise guidelines and there's many potential pitfalls with them, as well as with even the current cystic fluid analysis. We reviewed the data from the large Brugge and Khalid study, and really the feeling is that, you know, the data may not be truly applicable to the sorts of cysts that actually present real dilemmas, such as the solitary cysts. So as a result of that, myself and my colleagues at UCLA, including Dr. James Tomlinson from the Department of Surgery, Dr. Ben Weinberg and Dr. Brendan Spiegel, both from the Division of Gastroenterology at UCLA, have been studying this from a decision analysis point of view and have come up with some interesting recommendations about how to manage patients essentially with asymptomatic pancreatic cysts within the head of the pancreas. We decided to choose a cyst in the head of the pancreas because it represented a surgical dilemma. But we also included factors that people really hadn't been challenging too much before, including variation in the size of the cyst, the age of the patient, as well as operative mortality and morbidity issues that had not been addressed in former studies. And while our guidelines and recommendations and conclusions from our study, you know, do favor that we should continue to survey patients less than 1 centimeter and recommend surgery for patients with cysts greater than 3 centimeters, it appears that for certain patients, especially younger patients in the region of 65 to 75 years old, may actually benefit from a surgical approach for a cyst size if it's in the region of 2 centimeters. So there's a lot more work that has to be done within this area to try and refine this and actually validate in a prospective manner. Such work includes finding more about the natural history and the risk of transformation of these branched duct IPMNs, but we do feel that we will have a more personalized and nuanced approach to these pancreatic cystic neoplasms, especially the real dilemmas, which are the real management dilemmas, which are really the patients with the asymptomatic solitary cyst in the region of 1 to 2 to 3 centimeters.
Thank you very much, Dr. Farrell. That's very interesting. For more information on pancreatic cysts and lesions, please visit the Gastroenterology website or the Clinical Gastroenterology and Hepatology website.